1 Samuel chapter number 7. And I'm going to, for time's sake, just jump down to verse number 8. We'll read 8 through 16. Said, the children of Israel said to Samuel, cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it for a burnt offering, holy, unto the Lord. Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistine drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomforted them. They were smitten before Israel. The men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came under Bethcar. Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Sin, called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. So the Philistines were subdued, and they came no more into the coast of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. And the cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel, from Ekron even unto Gath. And the coast thereof did Israel deliver out of the hand of the Philistines. There was peace between Israel and the Amorites. And Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life. And he went from year to year in circuit to Bethel and Gilgal and Mizpah. And he judged Israel in all those places. I want to look at verse number 16. The Bible said, and he went from year to year in circuit to Bethel, Gilgal, and Mizpah, and judged Israel in all those places. I'd like to preach for a few minutes tonight on this thought on what kept Samuel going. I'd say to you, Samuel had an unusual beginning. Would not you agree with me there? I think about Samuel, Brother Charlie had a good mama. Amen. Preacher didn't know she was no good, but he had a good mama anyhow. Amen. She had an idiot for a preacher. Amen. But you know what she did? She just went ahead and loved God anyhow. Amen. I mean, he was a bona fide, first-class idiot. He couldn't even tell it to light. It went out in his Lord's temple. I'd say she had pretty good faith. She made a vow to God, amen. She said, God, you give me a man child, I'm going to give him back to you, amen. When she had the baby, you know what she did after she weaned him? She took him right up there to no ungodly preacher, amen. Said, I made a promise to God. I don't know how God, amen, going to take care of him, but God going to take care of him, amen. I made a vow. I'm not going to go back on my end of the deal, amen. I'm going to be faithful all the way. I say, old Samuel had a pretty good mama, wouldn't you agree to me tonight? Amen. I mean, in the midst of all the trouble, in the midst of all the ungodliness, and here that little old girl trusted that little old boy, amen, said, I give him to God, and I just know God to do something with him. You want to know why Samuel was a man of God? I'll tell you why he's a man of God. He had a mama that had character, amen, and he had a mama that just believed God, and he had a mama that's just going to do right. He had a mama that's going to keep her vow to God. He had a mama that's going to please God. And I mean the rest of the world saying, you're a fool, but I'm telling you, blessed be God. She just trusted the Lord.
Amen.
I mean, she made him a little old coat of many colors. She wasn't down there at the altar fussing at God, saying, I want him back. You know, most people give God something, then they want it back. Amen. Now, if you're Indian here, I'm sorry, but they used to call that Indian giving where I was from. Amen. And I'm telling you, people where I'm from, they didn't take real kind to that. Amen. You give them something, they didn't want you come asking for it back. Amen. Amen. And you know the Bible said, pay that which thou hast paid. He said, and defer not to pay it. Amen. He said, because the Lord had no pleasure in fools. That's what the Bible said. Amen. You give something to God, you know what God expects you to do? God expects you to give it to Him. Amen. I give them boys to God. You know what? One day God come by and He said, all right, I'm ready for that one. You know what wouldn't have been right? If I'd say, well, you can't have them. But there's people do that all the time. They'll give their kids to God. Then when the Lord come by and said, I'm ready to pick up what you give me, they'll take him and run off with him, hide with him, amen, try to keep God from getting him. And I'm going to tell you, and then they wreck their life and wreck his life. Amen. Most time the kids get in a wreck, it ain't because, amen, the kids so bad. It's because mom and daddy go back on the vow that they made to God. Amen. I'm saying to you tonight, well, I think I might have hit something right there. Amen. You give God something. You know what God expects you to do? He expects you to give it to Him. Amen. Amen. He expects you to just do right. Amen. You said God told you to do it. Amen. And so you done it. Amen. And now God's come by to collect. And you said, now I'm not going to give it. But God said, it's mine. It's mine. It's mine. Amen. Whatever you give God, it's His. I'm telling you, you give God this and you give God that. Amen. And you keep trying to take it back. You give God your life, and every time the sword and the knife begin to fall, you keep your slip knot on the altar. Amen. Instead of facing the knife and letting God kill you and crucify you. Amen. Hey, you don't keep that vow to God. So guess what? Amen. You just go on and live miserable. And your life, you ain't got no victory in it. You're in trouble. And you're up and down. You're double-minded. And you're unstable in all your way. But if you just keep that vow, what you told God, hey, He could have your life. I'm telling you, God could crucify you and give you peace that passes all understanding. You could have some joy down in your heart. I mean joy unspeakable and full of glory. But you're going to keep that commitment that you made to God. Amen. And that's what Samuel's mama did. She kept it. Made him a coat. She wasn't down at the preacher's house every week checking on him. Bible said they went from year to year. Amen. You know why most kids can't live for God? Mom and daddy can't leave them long enough for God to work with them. Amen. I don't know why I'm hung up on this, but I'm just telling you, it's God's honest truth. Amen. If you leave your blame kids alone, God don't tell him what he'd do for them. Now, my boy's here, and his wife, and I got two little grandkids over in Germany. Here a while back, we was talking. He said, Dad, I wish you'd pray about something. I need some money. Amen. And so anyhow, I said, well, I happen to have a little bit, and the Lord said, you send it over, I'm going to run over you and him both. Amen. Maybe if you wouldn't run to their rescue so quick, amen, maybe God could help them and you both. That's good preaching right there, family, doing it. But I'm telling you, they can't trust God because you won't let them get their hand out of your pocket. Amen. I know what the Bible says. If you see your brother have need, amen. Do you know why most people don't have to pray? They know they keep climpering around long enough. Amen. That's good preaching right there. Somebody going to reach in their pocket, give them $10 or $20. If they do that enough, they can do pretty good. You know why most bums don't get right with God on the street? I can tell you why they don't get right with God on the street. There's too many places where they can go poor mouth and look sad and get something to eat. Amen. And I'm telling you what, blessed be God, faith cut the meals off, amen, get them in a place where they had to pray, get them in a place where they'd hit bottom. You can see old-fashioned revival break out in this country one more time. Amen. You want to keep the kids going? Quit giving them so much. Amen. Quit playing God in their life and let God, amen, become real to them. Been a lot of times I've seen Lord and said, I want to do this. I can't do this. The Lord said, you better not. You're getting in my way. Amen. Do you know what God was doing to them? Amen. If I'd have been steadily dishing it out, amen. And my daughter-in-law, mom and daddy just steadily dishing it out, and the church just steadily dishing it out, you know what it'd do? Amen. Teach them where they'd never trust God, amen. Never had to get down and pray. All they'd have to do is make a phone call, amen. Well, boy, I'll tell you, when God manifests Himself and does some things, amen, boy, they'd stand up and say, hey, He's not the God of my mom and daddy, amen. I don't have to listen to the God about the stories, what God of my mom and dad. But I'm telling you now, He's my God, amen. He's doing the things for me. He's working for me. I'm telling you, blessed be God, and get them in a place where they can trust and believe God and thank God for His good blessings on them. And I'm telling you, become real to them. I'm saying that's what we need tonight. Amen. You know what kept Samuel going? His mama left him alone. Amen. You know what's going to keep your family going? Them leave you alone. You say, that's horrible, Brother Luther, but no, I'm just trying to tell you tonight that'd be a blessing to you. I mean, just trust God and just pray, amen. Well, we don't want them to go through the hard knocks like amen and go through the hard time. So they ain't. You give them everything they need. Then when they get married and the little old boy's trying to make $10 an hour, amen. But she's used to living on 40, amen, because daddy kept his hand out all the time, blessed be God. Then they have to be down here at Brother Charlie's office, get counseling, amen, why they can't make it. Then you mad at your son-in-law, but you brought it on it yourself, amen. Amen. That's good preaching right there, Brother Luther. If you are doing it, because you raised her to be a $40 hour girl and told her it'd be all right to marry a $10 hour boy. And I'm telling you, blessed be God, they wind up in the divorce court. It'll be cause your fault.
Amen.
Amen. You say you're supposed to be full of love. No, I am. Love not the world, neither the things of the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I'd say Samuel's mama left him alone. It was good for him. Amen. If you'd leave your kids alone, it'd be good for them. Oh, I know this ain't Joel Osteen preaching, but it's right anyhow. Amen. I know this ain't the power of positive thinking. Amen. I know it's a negative, but it'll bring forth positive results in your life and their life too if you'll heed it. But hey, you know better than God. Well, you know, preacher, if a man don't provide for his own, he's worth, well, they ain't your own no more after they get married. Leave them alone, they're his. Amen. Little old son-in-law hates you, and it's your fault that he hates you. Oh, amen, bitter, envious, hey, how in the world I get on this? But I'm telling you, blessed be God, I feel a tug on it. And I'm telling you, blessed be God, you just go down there and just keep buying, keep buying, keep buying. Amen, just keep rubbing it in his nose and saying, bah, 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 bah. And amen, you better amen me. I don't think I'm hitting you for long. Amen. But I'm telling you, blessed be God and Lamb, hey, I want you to understand me tonight. Hey, we're in trouble, we're in trouble, we're in trouble, and our church is in trouble, amen, because mom and daddy's won't let the kids grow up and trust God on their own. But I'm telling you, Samuel, what kept him going is his mama left him alone.
Yes.
Amen. Leave him alone. Leave her alone. There's no boy. I said, why don't you pray about letting that girl marry my boy? Hey, you know, I tell you that kid, and then the old mama spoke, I'll tell you one thing right now. Amen, this girl ain't leaving West Virginia. But we want, now I said, you don't want the will of God. The will of God done spoke, and mama's the will of God. I'm trying to tell you, amen, leave them alone, leave them alone, leave them alone. Hey, listen, it's hard doing, amen, but it's right doing, amen. Let them, amen, my girls come told me here a while back, that oldest girl, she said, I'll tell you, daddy, said, you left me alone here the other day about something, said, now, God touched me, he touched me, he touched me, I heard him, I heard you and mama talking about, I ain't touched these y'all. But she said, I wanted God to do something for me, and he done something for me.
Amen.
They know they ain't got to pray for a down payment on the house. Amen. And mom and daddy are glad to give it to them as long as they'll live close to mom and daddy. Amen. Let's keep them close. Amen. Let's get them so close. Amen. You might as well just move them in, will you? That's what you really want anyhow. How in the world, Ms. Luther, you got me in? Amen. You started that. Amen. Amen. But I'm telling you, it's right. You know it's right. Amen. They don't have to pray for nothing, amen. All they got to do is come over there and give you some sad eyes, amen. You'll break the bank and everything else, amen. Make sure they get it. You don't care whether it's the will of God or not. Amen. Amen. The Lord's good, ain't he? Amen. I'm just trying to say to you, you want to keep him going? Amen. Leave him alone. Amen. And let me say this to you, young lady, young man, quit going, oh, amen, to your wife, does something, amen, you don't like. Quit going to your mama, amen, whining, crying on her shoulder, amen. That's good preaching right there if you am doing, amen, sir, amen. Hey, little lady, if your husband doing something, amen, you don't like, quit running over there. You know what you're going to do? You're going to make your mother, amen, amen. You know why most people hate their mama-in-laws? I'll tell you why most people hate them, amen, because their wives went over and whined and complained so much, amen, and mama-in-law hates them, so they end up hating one another, amen. And I'm telling you, praise God, that's good anyhow. I'm just trying to tell you to leave them alone, leave them alone. I'm telling you, God will use them. Amen. Hey, God, my last name ain't even Jones. Ain't that good? Amen. The Lord's good. I love brother. But I'm just trying to tell you, amen, that's why we're in trouble. Amen. What kept him going? Amen. His mama left him alone. Put him in the house of God. That kept him going. Amen. Amen. You read right there in the Bible, said he went from year to year in circuit to Bethel. You know what a circuit is? Amen. That just keeps, you break circuit, and guess what? You ain't going to have no power. Amen. But I'll tell you, as long as you've got a circuit up there and you just keep it going, amen, the power's going to flow. But I'm telling you, blessed be God, you know what happened to most people? They get their circuit broke. You know why they get their circuit broke? Most time, mom and daddy won't leave them alone, but most time, they won't stay faithful down to the house of God. Amen. That Bible said he went to Bethel, went to Bethel, went to Bethel. You want to get your family problems worked out, young man? You want to get your marriage worked out, young lady? You want to get your marriage fixed? I'm telling you, blessed be God, you want to have a good home? Just learn to stay in Bethel. Stay there for the health of God. No matter what comes your way, just drag yourself if you're bloody and you beat the pup. Just stay down in Bethel anyhow. Amen. He went from year to year. They knew he was going to be down at Bethel. Amen. Ain't it a blessing? You know the world ought to know we're going to be in the house of God. Amen. Sunday morning, Sunday night. Amen. This revival's been planned for a year. Amen. If you got any, amen, amen. That's good preaching right there, family. You ought to be down here every night this week.
Amen.
Amen. Unless you got some kind of emergency. And I'm going to be watching you women. And the ones that ain't here tomorrow night, I know I hit tonight. And furthermore, the men too, amen. I'm trying to tell you, amen. You want to know what kept Samuel going? I'll tell you what kept him going. He went to Bethel. Bethel's a type of the house of God, amen. He is faithful to it, amen. Hey, I'm going to tell you, we ought to be like David when we come down to the house of God. He said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. He said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. I'm telling you, blessed be God, you ought to love the house of God. You ought to love the church. I'm telling you, you ought to just focus your life around the church. The church boy ought to be the most important place in your life. I'm saying, just give it all to God. I'm saying, put your life involved in the church. Raise your children around the church. Just make your mind up and don't stay with the church. No matter what, everybody else is wrong and the church is right.
Amen.
And while I pass the long life's highway, don't let your friendship go no deeper in the church. Now just hang with me. You watch people all the time. Amen. Some nutty get out. We're going to be a friend to them. Well, you're going to violate the Word of God. If you'd leave them alone, amen. Quit eating with them. Quit fellowshipping with them. Just cut them off, amen. You know what they'd do? They'd probably get right with God just like the Bible said they would, amen. Because they'd feel ashamed. Because they're out in that world by themselves. They ain't got no fellowship with the world because they're saved. Then they ain't got no fellowship with the saved because they're acting like a heathen. And before you know it, they'll get back right with God in an old-fashioned altar of repentance and tell God they're sorry. And to get right with God and go and serve God. But as long as you've built around the house, they never will get right.
Don't let your friendship go deeper to church. Amen.
Now, my boy Jack, how many days was it till you was fixing to get married? Well, the Lord had mercy. Amen. He met this little gal out of Brother Glenn Stocker's church. Sparks was a flying, I guess. Amen. And him and her, they decided to get married. He bought the ring and all that jazz. And they was all goo-goo eyed. And boy, there's a planning this and there's a plan. Well, let me just say, they're doing all the planning. Amen. But about that time, guess what? They got mad at the preacher. Mom and Daddy got mad. You know what they had done? They was trying to help Brother Stocker's girl leave, amen, and go get fetched up with an old man, amen. That's good preaching right there, family, doing it. And I'm telling you, old Jack found out about it. Said, y'all hadn't told the preacher. He said, no, we ain't going to tell him. So Jack picked up the telephone, called the preacher, and said, this is what's going on. And if he hadn't, I'd have knocked him in the head for being goofy. And when the preacher confronted them about it, amen, they said, we ain't getting right. They left the church, amen. This little girl that was going to marry Jack said, I ain't never going to stand against my family. Well, you are the church, amen. My family's going to always be right, amen. So we just prayed. And old Jack said, well, my family's always told me, my daddy always told me, I believe we just better stay with the church. So I believe we better just cut this thing off right now. For he said, I thank God, amen, we found all this out before we said, I do. Amen. You know what I told my wife before we ever get married? I said, don't you ever make me stand between you and the church, because if you do, you're going to end up losing. Amen. That's good preaching right there. I'm telling you, if you fix to marry somebody, you better lay down the law and you better say, I'm staying with the church. And if you leave, you leave it on your own. I'm staying with the church. Amen. Amen. But most people won't do that nowadays. And then they wonder why they're in so much trouble. And you go ahead and marry that joker. 10 years from now, you wish you'd have jumped off the NPR Power State Building instead. Amen. I'm thinking it's kind of a crude illustration, but it'll fit right here anyhow. This old man, he'd been married to this old yapping broad for 50 years. Amen. She just yep. I mean nip, just constantly all the time, gripe, nonstop, amen. And he's standing out there looking at this old barn, and she walked out there and said, come on, everybody's waiting in here to see you, let's hurry up and all. He said, you know, I'm just standing here thinking. He said, right there 50 years ago in that barn, said, your daddy caught me kissing you and said he told me if I didn't marry you, he's going to send me to prison for 50 years. She said, yeah, well, what about it? He said, I'd have just been getting out today and it wouldn't have been too bad. Amen. Telling you, praise God, you ought to be faithful to it. You never need to forget it. Amen. You better never forget where you'd be without the church tonight. Some of you young people getting married, you don't know the heartache and the hell your mom and daddy had, amen, because they got saved before you was ever born, amen. They've raised you in the house of the living God. You ain't going to have to listen to your mama cry. You ain't going to have to listen to all the heartache. You're not going to have to listen to all the sorrow, amen. You ain't raised. Some bus didn't have to bring you down to church. Your mom and daddy brought you down the house of God. Now, I'm telling you, you're enjoying the blessings of God, and God's come by, and God's blessed your life, and you better stay faithful to the very place that gave you what you got tonight. Amen. I want to say that kept Samuel going. Amen. It'll keep you going too. Amen. I want to say to you tonight, Bethel. He went from year to year. He came to Bethel, and then he went to Gilgal. Gilgal. It's mentioned in the scriptures over in Joshua. You know what Gilgal is? A Gilgal is a place of the manifestation and the power of God. You know where you're going to see a manifestation of the power of God? Right in Bethel. Amen. Boy, I'm going to tell you something, Brother Charlie. It's one thing, amen, to call it Bethel. But it's another thing, amen, when you call it El Bethel. That means God is in His house. Amen. And buddy, I'm going to tell you, praise be unto God, boy. Hey, it's been good all day. It ain't just been Bethel, but it's been El Bethel. I'm telling you, God blew in here this morning. God blew in here again tonight. And I'm telling you, God's been doing some things. And God's trying to help somebody. And I'm telling you, thank God Almighty. Hey, listen, this is the house of God. And I'm telling you, God's in His house. And if you get down this old-fashioned altar and let God manifest Himself to you, it'll change your life forever. And that's what kept him going. See, most people don't know nothing about the manifestation of the power of God. Amen. They don't know nothing about spirit fullness, so they try to get it all worked up with activity, and they're miserable. And you can do, and you'll be done, out the door. Be miserable. Amen. Come to the church. Amen. And just empty. And you'll be a squeaking. Amen. You know why? Because you ain't got no oil on you. And I'm telling you, praise be unto God. You get around, wallow around these old fashioned altars down here at this house of God. Amen. God, get in His house. He'll change your life. And I'm telling you, it'll be a place where God manifests Himself to you. And I'm telling you, it'll keep you going on down the road for God. Amen. I'd say it's a sad thing. I travel around this country, preached about 48, 49 revival meetings this year, and it's very rare where God comes by like He's come by tonight. Amen. Very rare. Very rare. Very rare. Boy, I'm going to tell you, you got an opportunity where God unveil Himself. Man, that's a blessing to me. That young choir got to singing tonight. I'm telling you, praise God, I just don't think it can happen with us. Amen. Boy, I'm telling you, the Lord got mighty slim pickings. The only time He'll move when the Lutherans singing. Amen. But buddy, I'm going to tell you what, praise God, it encourages me to see these youth choirs get up. These choirs get up. Boy, they get to singing. God, just go breathe out on them. Boy, God, start touching them. He'll start manifesting His power in Himself. All of a sudden you see them all to start filling up, people rooting around looking for God. I'm telling you, that's what we're missing nowadays. Them old time preachers would get up and talk about God manifesting Himself, Brother Charlie, and we'd dream about it. We'd hunger for it. That's what's the problem nowadays. There ain't a lot of hungering for it. Amen. People not willing to pay the cost. Oh, I'm telling you, we'd give everything we had away. We was looking for God. We wanted God. We was hungry for God. We just needed God to do something in Texas. Them old preachers would tell us they that hunger and thirst after writing His sake shall be filled. And I'm telling you, thank God. God Almighty, we just kept seeking, and one day, I tell you, thank God, one day the Lord, He come by and filled us up. Amen. Place of the power of God, a manifestation of the presence of God. Gilgal speaks of the newness of life. I mean, in Joshua 6, boy, he told them, said, you get across there and you put these 12 stones. They said one day, said, your children's going to come by. And they're going to ask you, what mean ye by these stones? Boy, you tell a story. Hey, I'm going to tell you, praise be unto God. I've sat around and told my kids how God touched me. Amen. I already started, that little old grandson of mine, amen. I already been whispering to him when I get him. Amen. Oh, I'm going to tell you, praise God, boy, I want my kids to know that God's real. Amen. He ain't just a figment of my imagination. Praise God the Lamb. I'm telling you, but He's real. He's real. It's a bubbling, it's a bubbling, it's a bubbling in my soul. I'm telling you, thank God the wells are flowing tonight. And it ain't clogged up. Because one day I had an old-fashioned manifestation and a fullness of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hey, I can take you to where God saved me. But I can also take you to the spot God filled me. Amen. If you can't go to the space where God filled you, might be because you ain't never been filled yet. I'm telling you, if you ever get filled, you won't forget it. Amen. I'm trying to tell you something tonight. Now, you don't know what kept him going? He went to Bethel and he went to Gilgal. I don't want to say then he went to Mizpah. Huh? Mizpah's a place where you're going to have victories. You're going to have battles. Hey, you know where Mizpah's first mentioned in the Bible? Genesis 31. Between Jacob and Laban. Amen. He said in 31 verse 52, said, this heap be witness, and this pillar, and I will not pass over, amen, this to come to thee, and that thou shalt not pass over this heap, and this pillar unto me for harm. Amen. Separation. You got to cut the shorelines. Amen. Ain't it always easy? Gary's here tonight. He's been home since August raising money for that building. Looks like God done give us that building. I mean, for an amount that we was thinking we wouldn't be able to get it for. Amen. Got a 5-bedroom house, 2-bedroom apartment, I got probably enough space under there for dormitories to sleep 100 people. Amen. Amen. Got a church building to seat up to 300 people, I'm telling you, and going to get it all for a little over $200,000. Ain't that a blessing? Huh? They said you can't do it to God and do anything. Amen. But I'm telling you, come time. When he's 18 years old, six of us went over there, Brother Charlie, figured all six of us come back. On Wednesday night, old crazy Mark McGay, he was a preacher, and he went down that altar, God surrendered, amen, dealt with him when he's 13 years old, and he turned around, looked at me and said, Daddy, I got an answer to call. And Brother Danny went over there and talked to them missionaries, and after talking to them missionaries, he come told me, he said, I think we'll just leave him here. And we left him there. Sometimes it's hard. You got to do right. Amen. That's getting back to that vow. I remember they said he had a bad heart. They said he's going to have trouble. And I remember when he was born, taking him and offering, putting him up, amen. Men and mama holding him up to the Lord and say, Lord, here he is. Would you use him one day? God, would you put your hand on him? And God, when you come by and get him, amen, we'll never argue with you about it again. Come by and got him. Huh? Them little old grandkids grow up. We don't get to see them learn how to walk. Don't get to go over there every year. Here I'm on the phone. Old Justice say, I love you, Paul. Boy, he was in a church here a while back. He seen me get up. And boy, I was doing a shuffle like you. All of a sudden, boy, I'm going to tell you, about a week or two later, my phone started ringing. And old brother, some of them guys, old Harold Cooper was down there. And amen, old Randall Boatner and a couple of them other boys was down there. They said, dear God, we knowed who that was as soon as he got out in that old aisle. Amen. He went to doing it. Well, I'm going to tell you, thank God, I'd rather remember me old Paul like that. Amen. In and out of church. Amen. I'd just rather be faithful around the house of God. Amen. Let some of that rub off on them. Sometimes you gotta say goodbye. You gotta cut that shoreline. When you cut it, they ain't never coming back. Amen. My wife, when we come back, I knew in my heart he wasn't coming. They said, well, he'd go over there for 2 or 3 weeks, maybe a couple months. After he was there about 2 or 3 weeks, they done enrolled him in school. Brother Danny called me one morning. We was going through Kentucky about 6 in the morning. He said, oh, I thought I'd just let you know Gary ain't coming home. I said, I know. About 10 minutes later, my wife woke up and said, I thought I heard you talking to somebody. Who's you talking to? I said, oh, Brother Danny. I'm a dummy. I ain't got no tact. I ain't got no smooth way to butter it up where to just slide the answer, slide in there good and all that. And she said, well, what'd he say? Oh, he just told me Gary wasn't coming home. Oh, no, wow, no, they got him say goodbye. Amen. Amen. Boy, I mean, she's about ready to whoop me and the preacher both. Amen. Boy, I'm gonna tell you one thing. God broke in on her, amen, no Gary, for about a year and a half. He stayed over there, and he come home. When he got ready to leave, he walked up to his mama. He said, Mama, I didn't get to tell you properly. I said, I'm gonna tell you goodbye this time. He come over and hugged my neck, and he said, Dad, I love you. And he said, I know I won't get to see you much more times in this life. But he said, one day we'll have all eternity to sit down by the river of life and talk about it. Amen. Hugged my neck. Amen. Thanked me for staying faithful to the church and staying with the church. Amen. When it didn't always seem like it was the right thing to do, it just stayed in him. I made a vow. Amen. We went over there. And he told me before I ever went over there, he said, Daddy, if I die over there, he said, then my people. He said, don't bring me back home and bury me. Bury me with my people. You know why there's a church over there tonight with about 21 Germans that got saved, amen, and they got a pastor over there already in that first little old German church? I can tell you why. Because he cut the shoreline. It's hard to win people to God when you won't stay off a jet airplane. Amen. Separation. You got to forsake some things. Been times when I had to say bye, and you knew you'd never see them again. Well, I want to say this. You know what kept Samuel going? Bethel. You want to know what kept Samuel going? Gilgal, a place of manifestation of the Spirit of God. You want to know what kept him? Spirit of God led him to a place where he's going to have to forsake some things. And there's little old sins, and there's little old things that you're going to have to forsake if you're going to walk with God.
Amen. There's things that you're doing right now you're not going to be able to. And you already know that if you sell out and serve God, you ain't going to be able to do it. And you'd rather hang on to them than sell out and let God have His way. Well, I'm going to say this and I'll be through. Do you know what kept Samuel going? Verse number 17 said his return was to Ramah, for there was his house. You know what kept Samuel going? He knew one day he's going home. You know what's going to keep you going? One day you know you're going home. Amen. That'll help you go on down the road. Know one day you get into the house. Knowing one day your race is already run. Knowing one day you've won your race. Knowing one day, amen, God's been well pleased with the walk that you walk with. Amen. I tell you, that'll help you get on down the road. Amen. That'll help you just be faithful. Amen. You know why? Because when you know you go home, it's going to be a place of rest. It's going to be a place of reunion. It'll be a place, amen, where your labor won't even hurt you ever no more. Ramah. You know what Ramah speaks of? It speaks of heights. Joyous old work, it's hard. It ain't always easy. God have all kind of problems. Get run over by people out here, broadside. I'm talking about literally. Fall, amen, bust your head wide open, amen. Look like your husband whooped you with a 2x4, amen. Glasses all busted all on the side of her head, amen. Do you know what she tell me in the hospital laying up there, blood running everywhere? She said, boy, ain't nothing like this life. I said, you're going to kill me? Man, every Bible I get, she writes, thank you for inviting me along for this trip. Amen. It's been a wonderful ride. Sometimes it's hard for me to remember them wonderful rides. Amen. Yeah. Buddy, I'm going to tell you, thank God one of these days we're going home. Amen. And I hath not seen nor ear heard, neither did it enter into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love Him. Oh, I'm telling you, thank God one of these days we're going to home. I'm saying, thank God that'll keep you going. I'm telling you, that's what kept Samuel going. And that's what'll keep you going tonight. Amen. Keep him going. Samuel finished his course. Samuel, as far as I know, is considered the greatest prophet that ever lived and ever was in Israel. How about you tonight? What do you want to be remembered as? Why, how you want to be remembered? Tell you, if you don't get in this circuit and stay faithful to the house of God, see God's manifestation power, amen, get the Mizpah where you're going to forsake some things, and keep home on your mind, you ain't going to make it very far. We'll come back here next year and wonder where you went. They say, oh, they crashed. Why don't you come tonight? Why don't some of you young families, why don't some of you young couples come bring it on offer? Some of you have been having problems. Say, God, no, let's get down here and let's start this thing afresh over. Amen. Make a pact with God. Make a pact with one another. Amen. We're going to please God. We're going to serve God. We're just going to stay faithful in the house of God. We're going to submit ourselves under the authority of the man of God. We're going to please the Lord in whatever we do. Be better than sitting there like a knot on log and keep having problems and keep having problems and keep having problems. Boy, let God have your problems tonight. Amen.